Om no jaya jaya Sri Chaitanya jaya Nityananda jaya Dvaita Chandra jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda jaya jaya Sri Chaitanya jaya Nityananda jaya Dvaita Chandra jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila Chapter 2 Text Number 97 Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna enjoys himself in six primary expansions. His two manifestations are Prabhav and Vaibhav. Now the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita turns to a description of the personality of Godhead in his innumerable expansions. The Lord primarily expands himself in two categories, namely Prabhav and Vaibhav. The Prabhava forms are fully potent, like Sri Krishna, and the Vaibhava forms are partially potent. The Prabhava forms are manifested in relation with potencies, but the Vaibhava forms are manifested in relation with excellences. The potent Prabhava manifestations are also of two varieties, temporary and eternal. Mohini, Hamsa, and Shukla forms are manifested only temporarily in terms of a particular age. And the other Prabhavas, who are not very famous according to the material estimation, are Danvantari, Rishabha, Vyas, Daitatreya, and Kapila. Among the Vaibhava Prakash forms are Kurma, Matsya, Nara Narayan, Varaha, Harigriva, Prishnigarbha, Baladev, Jaga, Vibhu, Satyasena, Hari, Vaikuntha, Ajita, Vamana, Sarvabhauma, Rishabha, Vishvaksena, Dharmasetu, Sudama, Yogeshwara, and Brihabhanu. Actually, we'll read a little bit more, because the more we read, then the more it becomes clearer. Although this is quite technical, Prabhupada also wanted us to know about these things. Text 98. His two incarnations are of two kinds, namely partial and empowered. He appears in two ages, childhood and boyhood. The Vilas forms are six in number, incarnations of two varieties, namely Sakyavesha, empowered, and Samshevesha, partial. These incarnations also come within the category of Prabhava and Vaibhava manifestations. Childhood and boyhood are two special features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but his prominent feature is his eternal form as an adolescent youth. The original Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is always worshipped in his eternal adolescent form. Actually, this is quite a technical section. But generally, incarnations are divided into six different categories. One of them is known as the Krishna himself, Svangsa, when Krishna personally appears. It's called Svangsa. And the other, or Swayamrupa form, his original form, as Krishna holding a flute. The next category are the guna avatars, which are Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, and Lord Brahma, Krishna's qualitative incarnations within the modes of nature. The next is called the lila avatars, which include Matsya, Kurma, Varaha. There are Krishna's pastimes, incarnations in the different yugas, or at least the different lila avatars, different lilas he has. Then there's the Yuga avatars, such as Kapila, who comes and shows the process of meditation in the Satya Yuga, Jago, who shows the process of sacrifice in the Treta Yuga, Krishna, who came himself in the Dwarpa Yuga and asked everyone to personally worship him, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Kali Yuga. So these are called Yuga avatars. And then there is the Manvantaras avatars. In one day of Brahma, there are 54 Yuga Manvantaras. And then there are, actually there are Manvantaras, there are, is it 54? And one, I forget the exact. It's in Bhagavad Gita. We'll look it up later. There are many. In one lifetime of Brahma, there are something like 5,034 Manvantaras. So generally there are eight within a yuga cycle, in the four cycles of the yugas. Well, no, actually he lives longer than that. I guess in one day of Brahma there are eight. And one of the, right now we're in, there was Swayambhuvamanu, and the grandfather of Uttanapada, or the father of Uttanapada and the grandfather of Dhruva Maharaj. So Swayambhuvamanu is the present Manu. And then there are the Angs, as it says here, the Shaktivesha avatars, which are divided into Shaktivesha and Angsha Vesha. So the empowered incarnations like Prithu Maharaj, Rishabha, they're called empowered incarnations. So I think that covers all six. There's Swayamrupa, there's Guna avatars, there's the Leela avatars, Yuga avatars, Sakyavesha avatars, and Manvantara avatars. And here it mentions Krishna, Prabhava, and Vaibhava. So Vaibhava, the main difference is that Prabhava, fully potent, while Vilas or Vaibhava are partially potent. We'll read something about Krishna's excellences here. They're found in the Krishna book perhaps later, but it's hard to see if they're actually related to. Prabhupada doesn't use the word excellences usually. When he uses the word excellence, one time he used the word excellence in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto, and the word urjitam. And Krishna, that word urjitam appears in the Bhagavad Gita as yad yad bi buddhimat sattvam Srimad urjitam eva va tat tat eva bhagacha tvam amate dungsa sambhavam. That is, know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. And Prabhupada translates the word urjitam as excellence. The personality of Godhead, who is eternally and adolescent, is the primeval Lord, source of all incarnations. He expands himself in these six categories of forms to establish his supremacy throughout the universe. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. And these six kinds of forms are innumerable varieties, although there are many. There are one. There is no difference between them. The personality of Godhead manifests himself in six different features. One, Prabhava. Two, Vaibhava. Three, empowered incarnations. Four, partial incarnations. Five, childhood. And six, boyhood. The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, whose permanent feature is adolescence, enjoys his transcendental proclivities by performing pastimes in these six forms. In these six features, there are unlimited divisions of the personality of Godhead's forms. The jivas, or living beings, are differentiated parts and parcels of the Lord. They are all diversities of the one without a second, the personality of Godhead. So this is, apparently is the a different way of dividing up guna, avatar, guna, lila, yuga, etc. Because we find here the jaga, Vaikuntha, etc. Some of them are actually parts of the Manvantaras. Some of them are Leela avatars. Some of them are Yuga avatars, etc. But here Prabhupada is dividing it up. Prabhava, Vaibhava, empowered incarnations, partial incarnations, childhood and boyhood. The Chit Shakti, which is also called Swarup Shakti or Antaranga Shakti, displays many varied manifestations. It sustains the kingdom of God and its paraphernalia. The external energy called Maya Shakti is the cause of innumerable universes with varied material potencies. So Prabhupada said originally that Prabhava is manifested in relationship with his potencies. And then he lists Danvantari, Rishab, Vyas, Daitatreya, and Kapila. And of course the potencies we know are generally the internal potency, the external potency, and the marginal potency. The marginal potency is between these two, consisting of the numberless living beings. These are the three principal energies which have unlimited categories and subdivisions. Purport, the internal potency of the Lord, which is called Chit Shakti or Antaranga Shakti, exhibits variegatedness in the transcendental Vaikuntha cosmos. These stars ourselves, there are unlimited numbers of liberated living beings who associate with the personality of Godhead and its innumerable features. The material cosmos displays the external energy in which the conditioned living beings have provided all liberty to go back to the personality of Godhead after leaving the material tabernacle. The Svaita Svatara Upanishad informs us that tasya karyam karanam cha vidyate tat samascha vyadikascha jishyate parasya shaktir vividaiva shruyate svabhaviki jnana bala kriyacha. The Supreme Lord is one without a second. He has nothing to do personally, nor does he have material senses. No one is equal to him or greater than him. He has unlimited variegated potencies of different names, which exist within him as autonomous attributes and provide him with full knowledge, power, and pastimes. These are the principal manifestations and expansions of the personality of Godhead and his three energies. They're all emanations from Sri Krishna, the transcendence. They have their existence in him. Although the three Purushas are the shelter of all the universes, Lord Krishna is the original source of the Purushas. Thus the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the original primeval Lord, the source of all other expansions. All the revealed scriptures accept Sri Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarna Karnam. Krishna is known as Govinda, as the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the primeval cause of all causes. Basically, what this chapter is trying to establish is that although Krishna reveals himself in so many different types of forms and energies, still the original form is Krishna and his form of Swayam Rupa, Krishna as an adolescent or a boy in Vrindavan. And that the other manifestations of Godhead, whether it be the incarnations such as Narayan or his manifestations such as Kapila Dev or Matsya Korma or the Manvantaras, they're all either fully represented in Krishna's potencies for some particular purpose, or they partially represent Krishna's potencies to perform a particular service or a particular mission in the material world. Just like the powerhouse has unlimited energy, but in order to light up a light bulb, only a certain amount of that energy is required. Although the powerhouse is fully capable of supplying whatever energy is necessary to light up however big a light bulb you want to use. Still, for a particular purpose, we may only use a certain light bulb. So Krishna, he has unlimited energies, but for a particular purpose, he only has to display a certain amount of potency. So sometimes he comes as Korma. Korma's pastime is that when they were the demons and the asuras and the devas, they wanted to churn the ocean of milk to get some amrita from it. So they picked up one mountain, the Mandara Mountain, which is made out of gold. And they were bringing it to the ocean of milk. This was a suggestion by Lord Vishnu. On the way, however, the mountain was so heavy, because it was made out of gold, that it fell on all the demons and the asuras. And they all became crushed. So that would have been the end of the pastime, except that Lord Vishnu came and he picked the mountain up, and then he revived all the demons and the asuras, and then he himself brought the mountain. And then he manifests himself as Korma, because otherwise the mountain would have sunk into the ocean of milk. And Korma, the pastime was that the Supreme Lord, in the form of a tortoise, he had an itch on his back. So he used the mountain to scratch his itch. They were the demons and the asuras and the devotees. They got Vasuki to come, who is a gigantic snake. And then Vishnu manifested himself on the top of the mountain to hold it steady. And the demons used the churning rod of and the devas used the churning rod of Vasuki, and they churned the mountain back and forth. And they scratched Lord Korma on his back. So, of course, this all seems very extraordinary to us. But if you told an ant the pastimes of some people, how they were flying overhead and they were, then the ant would find this quite extraordinary. Therefore, if we judge everything from our point of view, think, oh, how is this possible? That they could scratch a gigantic tortoise with a golden mountain. That's only because we're very limited to our own particular perspective on things. But that just shows the Krishna appearing. Here, Korma is listed as one of the Vaibhava Prakash. Similarly, Matsya, as we know, Matsya appeared one day, one Satyasen, Satyavrati, he was a king, and when he found one fish, he was in the lake or by the ocean, and he cupped his hand, and one fish appeared there, and he was about to throw the fish back into the water. And he said, no, please give me protection. Don't throw me back into the ocean. There's so many big fish, they'll eat me. So he said, all right, I'll give you protection. So he put him into a little fish bowl. But as soon as he put him into the bowl, it immediately grew to the size of the bowl. And he said, now that you've given me protection, you'll have to give me a bigger bowl. So then he gave him a bigger bowl, and immediately the fish became that size. He put him into the bathroom tub, it became the size of the bathroom tub. Wherever he put him, finally threw him into a lake, he became the size of the lake. And then he threw him back into the ocean, and then he was informed that soon there will be a devastation. So you have to collect all the ingredients, all the herbs and all the plants and the animals, put them on a boat, and I'll come and I'll save the boat. Sounds a little bit like Noah's Ark. This is the archetypal Noah's Ark story. So, at this time, Matsya appeared in the water of devastation, because suddenly the devastation came. And Satyavrata was on the boat with all the sages, the seven sages, and all the paraphernalia. Sample of all the paraphernalia, and Matsya in the water of devastation, they hooked Vasuki again. Vasuki gives him quite a number of pastimes, and they hooked the horn of the fish to the boat with Vasuki, and Matsya enjoyed swimming in the water of devastation. So Krishna likes swimming also. Only that when he goes for a swim, he can appear as a fish. So these are some of the pastimes, and they're called either, these are all Prabhav manifestations, or these are Vaibhav manifestations, partial manifestations of the Lord's potencies, while others are capable of fully displaying certain potencies, such as, they're called Prabhavs. Dhanvantari, Rishab, Vyas, Daitatray, and Kapila. And the further on, in the Adi Lila, they'll describe in very detail the different types of Vaibhav and Prabhav in relation to Vilas and Prakash. So that gets even more complicated. So those who are scholars, who want to understand the intricacies of Krishna's manifestations, they can study this. And if you really get into it, and you can study what the names of the different incarnations, the different Narayan forms, according to where his conch shell, his lotus, his wheel, and his club are. And then there are three different books that give slightly different interpretations. So these are really for the scholars, you know, for one of these. We used to have Krishna Bowl. Krishna, they used to ask questions. They used to have temples. They had five representatives from each temple on one side, and another temple would be on another side, and they ask questions from the Krishna book. And then they have a buzzer, and you press the buzzer, and then you'd answer whoever could answer the question, they'd get some credit for answering the question. So for those, maybe in the future they'll have a Chaitanya Charitamrita bowl. We can just go on. Are there any questions so far? Yes. Yes. Well, Krishna can come as a Yuga avatar. It's not that he's been demoted. Formerly he was Krishna, now he's been demoted to a Yuga avatar. A Yuga avatar means when Krishna comes, He teaches the method of self-realization in a particular yuga. Then he's given the name Yuga Avatar. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes for two reasons, external and internal. The internal reasons are to experience, as it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the beginning here, to experience how Srimati Radharani is loving Krishna, the love that Srimati Radharani has for Krishna, to experience the love that Krishna has for Srimati Radharani, and to experience and appreciate Krishna's different qualities from the point of view of Srimati Radharani. But also he comes for the external reason as the Yuga avatar, to establish the Yuga Dharma, the method of self-realization in this Yuga. So he comes as Krishna for some reason. He also comes in order to show the process of self-realization in this particular age. Yeah, they're still there. Bhamana is there to accept the sacrifices, for instance, in Mahaloka. He appears regularly to accept their sacrifices. Yeah, Bhamana is he's the cousin of Indra, younger brother, actually, Indra Upendra. He's the younger brother of Indra. He's there in the heavenly planets. All these incarnations are still there. But that's not the way books translate the word. Yeah, avatar means one who descends. So Krishna acts through these incarnations. Therefore, they're called guna avatars. The real person who's doing everything is Krishna. But when they're called guna avatars because they're in charge of a particular mode of nature. In other words, the particular living entity is simply an instrument of Krishna. And Krishna acts through him. Well, that's two different questions. In other words, if you would have gotten a train ticket to Vrindavan, could you have seen him there 5,000 years ago? Yeah, of course. But that doesn't mean you would have seen him the same way that the gopis saw him. Even now you can see him. He's right here. But that doesn't mean everyone sees him the same way. Just like Kansa also saw him. because Krishna walked into the arena to battle against the wrestlers. And the wrestlers saw him as the thunderbolt. The young ladies there saw him as Cupid personified. The members of the Yadu dynasty saw him as the most illustrious ancestor. The mother of Krishna, Jasoda, Nanda Maharaj, they saw him as a small boy. Kamsa saw him as death personified. The sages saw him as the sages and the members of the Yadu dynasty, or the sages who were meditating, the yogis, they saw him as the super soul. And the foolish and unintelligent saw him as a foolish and unintelligent person. So Atmanam Manyate Jagat, everyone saw Krishna according to their mentality. So even today, Krishna is here in the form of the deity, and everyone sees him according to their mentality. You know all the conclusions of the scriptures very well. You create these logical arguments just to agitate me. Purport, a learned man who has thoroughly studied the scriptures cannot hesitate to accept Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If such a man argues about this matter, certainly he must be doing so to agitate the minds of his opponents. That same Lord Krishna, the fountainhead of all incarnations, is known as the son of the king of Braj. He is ascended personally as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is the absolute truth. To call him Sri Radha Shai Vishnu does not add to his glory. But such words from the lips of a sincere devotee cannot be false. All possibilities abide in him, for he is the primeval Lord. All other incarnations are partially situated in the original body of the primeval Lord. Thus, according to one opinion, one may address him as any one of the incarnations. Purport. It is not contradictory for a devotee to call the Supreme Lord by any one of the various names of his plenary expansions, because the original personality of Godhead includes all such categories. Since the plenary expansions exist within the original person, one may call him by any other of these names. In Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Lord Chaitanya says, I was lying asleep in the ocean of milk, but I was awakened by the call of Nara, Sri Advaita Prabhu. Here the Lord refers to his form as Sri Radha Shai Vishnu. So Krishna, he has within himself all the incarnations. Sometimes people say that Lord Chaitanya, or Lord Krishna especially, he's an incarnation of Sri Radha Shai Vishnu. But that just means that he comes from himself. Actually, he's not an incarnation of Sri Radha Shai Vishnu, but all the forms of Krishna appear through Sri Radha Shai Vishnu. Therefore, it appears that he's an incarnation of Sri Radha Shai Vishnu. But actually, he's not. Sri Radha Shai Vishnu is an expansion of Krishna. But here it says it doesn't really matter if you call him Sri Radha Shai Vishnu or an expansion, because Sri Radha Shai Vishnu is Krishna himself, appearing as Sri Radha Shai Vishnu. The example is used of the judge. They call him Your Honor, and he sits on a high bench, and he awards certain people a boon of money. Others he condemns to death. But when he goes home at night, he takes off his robes, and he puts on his clothes, his dress clothes, his regular relaxing clothes. His wife and children bring him his slippers, and they call him John. So whether you call him John or you call him the judge, he's the same person. He looks different. He has different powers. Generally, he doesn't condemn his children to death. Sometimes he awards his wife some money. But they call him John. So he's the same person. He looks different. He has different activities. He has different names. But he's the same person. So similarly, when Krishna, he creates the material world, he's called Mahavishnu. And when he comes into each particular universe and lies down, he's called Garbhadakshai Vishnu. And when he expands as a super soul in everyone's heart and lies down in the ocean of milk, he's called Sri Radhakshai Vishnu. In any case, he's Krishna. And so when he wants to appear, he sometimes appears through that form, but actually Sri Radhakshai Vishnu is Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but just enacting a particular form, a particular name, a particular pastime for a particular purpose. Is there any questions about that? Yes. He's the same person. Well, just like you may have many moods within you. Right? Sometimes you may be happy, the next moment you may be angry. So you're the same person, but you just exhibit different moods. Isn't that right? So Krishna is one person, but he has different moods. But he's so talented, he can exhibit all those moods simultaneously in different forms. So how he does it? Well, you have to ask him how he does it. He does it because he has that potency. Just like we have a little of that potency. For instance, we hear we're conscious of this room, right? Most of us are conscious, but those who are still awake. But simultaneously that we're in this room, we can think of some other place. We can think of, say, the room where they serve prasadam. And we can be in there hovering over the prasadam. So although we hear, we're also there. Although here we may have one mood, we may be thinking in a different mood about there. Is that right? So we can't do it very much, but it's possible. The more our consciousness expands. It is said that when Narada Muni, he entered into the 16,108 palaces to visit Krishna's 16,108 different queens, he went into each palace simultaneously. In other words, by Krishna's mercy, Narada Muni expanded himself 16,108 times and entered into all the different palaces simultaneously. So we can't do that. Matter of fact, people who do that, they're called schizophrenic. But not, by Krishna's mercy, it's possible for a pure devotee to be able to do that. Because Narada Muni has a spiritual body, it helps. You have a spiritual body. But that's possible for a liberated soul. Just like Prabhupada is here and is also in so many different temples. So that's possible by Krishna's inconceivable energies, that he can give that energy, that ability to even his devotees, what to speak of themselves. His devotees can't expand to every atom, but they can also expand like Krishna does. You mean, was he telling a fib when he said myself? Wait a second, you were just an empowered incarnation. Don't take so much credit. Well, there's not all the empowered incarnations are not all the same. Although they may be jiva, just like here it divides it into shaktivesh and amshavesh. So shaktivesh means that they actually have the potencies of Krishna. You know, they actually have some kind of, just like Prithvi Maharaj, he had the potency, he was going to kill the earth planet, and then he's going to float the earth planet. So one is considered a Shakyavesh avatar. It's said Kalikara Nama, Krishna Nama, Sankirtana, Krishna Shakti Vinanahi Tara Pravartana. So unless one is empowered by Lord Krishna, no one can expand the Sankirtan movement. So for the particular function of expanding the Sankirtan movement, Prabhupada was provided with certain power to do that. Similarly, anyone who goes out and distributes books or does anything, they're also given some power to do it. But that doesn't mean you become God, just because Krishna gives you some power to do something. On the other hand, when you're actually invested with Krishna's potencies, you know, the actual potencies for like maintaining the world, etc., and you display them for a purpose, that's also a type of avatar. In other words, you may be empowered to do some function for Krishna, so therefore you act just as Krishna does. But the pure devotee doesn't act as Krishna, he acts as Krishna's servant. Yeah, he's considered, as he said, just like, for instance, we're in the body, we're watching the body. So if the body is empowered to be like Krishna, then you have to say it's Krishna. But that doesn't mean that you think that you're your body. Therefore, you take the credit as being actually Krishna. In other words, we're not the body, but when the body acts like Krishna, then it has to be given the respect as Krishna, because it's acting as Krishna. But that doesn't mean the soul within the body says suddenly that I'm actually Krishna. But even Krishna's expansions, they're also devotees. When Krishna expands as Sankarshan, or as it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're all, even Sankarshan in Vaikuntha, he's saying, I'm a servant of Lord Chaitanya, I'm a servant of Lord Chaitanya. Baladeva is saying, I'm the servant of Lord Chaitanya. So the expansions of Krishna, they're simultaneously God, but they're also devotees of God. Just like Govardhan. Govardhan is the best of the devotees, but he's also Krishna. So, but that's the same thing. As all of Krishna's expansions are all devoted to Krishna. She's Shakti. She's not Svangsa of Krishna. She's Shakti. Ladini Shakti. From her comes all the different Shaktis. All the queens and all those expansions. So they go along with the incarnations. So Krishna expands himself as himself and also as through his potencies. The potencies, all Ladini Shakti, Shrimati Radharani, also expands to serve Krishna in his different incarnations. So we have Lakshmi Narayan, Sita Ram, Radha Krishna. So Sita and Lakshmi Devi, they're expansions of Shrimati Radharani. Anything else? Yes. Well, good. I think Prabhupada sometimes he preached according to time, place, and circumstance. Otherwise, the letters are not. As I said, letters are usually preaching according to time, place, and circumstance. Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanande ki jai.